Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 11th day of July, 2023. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and as the introduction might suggest, we've got some interesting things to start off with today. Yep, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good might be a bit surprising. Here's one from the Epoch Times that says Walt Disney World crowd sizes over the July 4th holiday weekend were, quote, shockingly thin, according to tracking data provider Touring Plans, which predicted that the low attendance trend seems poised to continue. Hey, there's a shocker, but at least it's good news. Amid ongoing conservative backlash, that's anybody that can read scripture or even has an understanding of human history, against what some describe as the woke agenda, which may be an understatement because they're beyond that. Some of us might suggest instead that it's grooming, pedophilia, or even outright perversion. Wrote Becky Gandilian of Touring Plans, the analyst here, quote, this is not normal. These are not peak summer crowds. These are shockingly low, with emphasis, crowds, she wrote. And here's even better news. All signs, she continued, point to this continuing in the short and long term. And you know what, folks? Part of the reason I put this story in the good news intro category was because I'm almost starting to have a problem with the term pedophilia anymore. I have no doubt that there are a lot of people that get their kicks from sexually abusing or torturing kids. That's really not philia, but I suspect that there are a whole lot of these people that just plain hate kids and want to see them dead by any means possible. And I think what we're really seeing here is just a manifestation and people's reaction to it of that attitude. But whatever the motivation, Disney's been embroiled in a legal and political fight, it continues, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, which was triggered by the company's opposition to a bill that bans teaching perversion to preschoolers and grade schoolers, or talking about sexual orientation, or trying to push gender identity in kindergarten through third grade. Why, think about it. Who could possibly have a problem with teaching innocent little kids crap like that instead of reading or writing or even simple mathematics? The once at least perceived family-oriented company also faced streaming system losses, and its stock was recently downgraded, in part due to fears of lower attendance, now justified, at its Disney World and Disneyland theme parks. And while this is at least a step in the right direction, the really good news would be if this abomination simply went completely bankrupt and disappeared. I would have to suggest they're probably on the list of the top 10 most anti-human and outright satanic companies on planet Earth. But there is one interesting difference here that needs to be pointed out. If Disney was to go bankrupt, it's doubtful that there'd be anybody step up to take their place quite as rapidly as, say, Monsanto or Pfizer, where the acquisition would be funded by somebody just as evil and intending to occupy that same satanic niche, as we've actually seen demonstrated when Bayer bought Monsanto. By the way, there's one other explanation here for the good news of Disney's parks taking a hit. Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden suggested a trip to Walt Disney World or Disneyland with the whole family, if you're obtuse enough to do that to them, is just too expensive besides. Not counting the spiritual cost, in a land full of Bidenflation, most families just simply can't afford the ridiculous prices there anymore. Why, think about it. If you want them to grow up to be little perverts, you can just let the public schools have at them. Here's more of what might be good news, but there are certainly elements of both the good and the bad, yeah, and the ugly too in it. The U.S. Marine Corps, says a piece from Reuters, is in a historic leadership limbo due to a blockade of promotions by the Republican leadership in the Senate. The Marine Corps, says, is now without a Senate-confirmed leader, sick, for the first time in over a century, thanks to a Republican senator's block on military nominations. Retiring General David Berger has formally relinquished command on Monday as the Marine Corps Commandant, creating the first of several possible vacancies of Senate-confirmed leaders, sick, on the U.S. military's Joint Chiefs of Staff over coming months. And we have Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama to thank for it, who's blocked hundreds of military nominations from the current regime from moving forward, because he believes, and who could doubt this, that the Pentagon is improperly using government funding, and maybe he's even too narrowly focused here because there's all kinds of improper things that they're doing other than actually defending the Republic. But his objection is they're violating the law by using government funding to cover travel costs for abortions for service members and their dependents. And we all know that's just the tip of the iceberg. What they don't seem to care much about is military readiness, much less defending these United States. Now, here's the irony, and this is at least a bit of good news, even though it's disgusting and ugly at the same time. U.S. Defense Secretary, that's ugly, Lloyd Austin, has denounced the delay at Berger's retirement ceremony, saying it was, are you ready for this? Talk about ugly. He claims that the senator is undermining readiness. This from the guy who's ignoring military readiness in favor of obscene political correctness, literally run amok. Hell, folks, they don't even know what flag they serve anymore. And teaching wannabe Marines crap instead of how to fight. On then to the unabashedly bad, although not surprising. This one comes from the People's Voice TV, and it says the World Economic Forum intends that CBDCs, and that of course is the mark of the beast, also known as central bank digital currencies, must be, get this, implanted under your skin if you want to participate in society. Does that sound remotely familiar? This time it's Professor Richard Werner, one of their golden boys, who said that in the very near future, citizens will, quote, need to use the latest technology, such as a, quote, CBDC chip implant, in order to access their bank accounts or buy things like food and water. In case you haven't heard of this scumbag, Professor Richard A. Werner is an economist and professor of banking and finance, known as the proponent of the new post-crisis monetary policy that he named QE for quantitative easing, which he proposed back in Japan in 1995 as chief economist of a British investment bank. And now he's saying that you, quote, have to think of CBDCs as a control system or a permit system and not a currency. It's a conditional currency, he taught, based on you actually getting that permit. And at least isn't that refreshingly honest, folks? Now, he said if you happen to be some kind of critic of government policy or critic of central banks, that could be difficult. And I think he means for you, you slave, you. Or if you dare step out of the 15-minute city zone, you know, maybe you'll find that, oh, my CBDC is not working. Of course, these are things we've already seen in China. There are plenty of videos when somebody tries to use it to buy a ticket and it doesn't work because his social credit scores are low. And of course, there's no right to appeal in a system like this, and I'm sure the professor thinks that is just wunderbar. There's a lot more to the story, but ultimately, all you got to do is read Revelation and, you know, write where it heads. Which takes us right to the ugly, and not just the merely ugly, but if you remember the old joke, and then later the movie, Coyote Ugly. And this one comes courtesy of Maureen Callahan, who seems to get it, writing for the Daily Mail. A trans contestant, she notes, has won Miss Sick Netherlands. And one look at the faces of the runners-up reveals what those women are really thinking, but don't dare say. And it begins this way. Add beauty pageants to the list of women's spaces that are no longer, well, spaces for women. The new Miss Netherlands, Sick, crowned on Saturday, is a transgender model named Ricky Valerie Collet. And her next stop, the Miss Universe pageant, which is no longer Miss Universe either. And it's now owned by transgender business mogul Anne Chakrajatatip. Almost as bad, continues Callahan, is that biological women like us are supposed to cheer and be exhilarated by this latest theft of what womanhood even means. Yep, she says, take a look at the faces of those runners-up. More than a few look like they're in shock, and rightly so. Women in beauty pageants, the real ones, have every expectation of maybe losing, but to another woman. But losing to a biological male? And if you look at the pictures on the story, folks, it looks like he's even sporting a package. And I'll admit, it's disgusting and, yep, downright ugly to even think about asking the question, now that we have to. But losing to a biological male who has invaded yet another event that, in its very founding and mission statement, is specific to women? She's going to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm going to skip over that. The pictures in here are disgusting enough and, yes, downright ugly. And by the way, if you have any doubts on that score, you haven't done it lately, pick up a Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Read what it says. And I can say this without fear of contradiction, because those who think this is just fine won't even have one of those books anywhere close by to do it. And there's at least one other thing to consider, says the author. Plenty of women, myself included, really aren't fans of beauty pageants. I find them degrading at best, dangerous at worst, because they valorize, she said, conventional female beauty above things like smarts, talent, ambition. You know, the important things, the things that last. But if there's anything that kind of shines in this so-called beauty pageant result, it's that the majority of people who watched were none too happy, wrote one of them. We've had enough of this bullshit. And as I bleep that word, folks, you all know what it was anyway, I can't help but think that it was quite appropriate. Maybe I shouldn't have bleeped it at all, because there comes a time, and we're there, to call things what they literally truly are. Said another, well done. A man has now just stolen the first place of an actual woman and gets applause for it. Full circle, we just killed 200 years of work for women who fought for actual equality. And I can't help but think here, Don Pardo, tell them what they've won. Oh, yeah, they got it. And actual quality doesn't look nearly so good now, does it? It seems, surprise, 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 the feminists have brought themselves to a place where they're far worse off than they ever were. Gee, folks, almost like there was a reason why the Creator wrote in the book of Genesis, male and female, he created them. And uglier still, anybody who knows better, continues Maureen Callahan, will be smeared as they've got a new acronym for it now, TERF, a so-called trans-exclusionary radical feminist, which is another word for bigot. But ultimately, it's just another misogynistic bullying tactic. Unquote. And I gotta stop here. Notice how the radical feminism still kind of oozes through? She doesn't get it yet, it seems. It's not misogynistic to love women the way the Creator of the universe made them, and to say they ought to recognize and appreciate that. And so should men. And that's not all. Speaking of ugly, and back to the Daily Mail piece, how about things like childbirth? Well, it's not for women anymore. Breastfeeding? How dare we? And biology? Yeah, forget science, folks. It's now a mere construct. Even the idea of menstruation is no longer female-specific. The new term is, get this, what idiocy, menstruator. And that means anyone who menstruates, even if it's just bleeding from a pussy wound that'll never heal because they had something that they weren't ever going to be allowed to use anyway, cut off and replace with, well, an ugly hole. And it's ironic to hear a self-professed feminist say something like this. With every passing day, she concludes, women who are seeing the severity of what's happening here, this systematic attempt to gaslight us into being semi-beings whose actual needs don't matter anymore, whose protections don't hold, and whose singular ability to give birth and sustain life is minimized. As a matter of fact, those who are pulling this off successfully at this point don't even want anybody to be able to sustain life, much less give birth. The mother-child bond, unique throughout nature and honored since the dawn of humanity, is now mocked. So she concludes, if you think Miss Netherlands is just another beauty pageant, think again. And yeah, folks, this is truly ugly. And with apologies, folks, I'm going to follow that up with another story that really brings home the point. This one comes courtesy of WorldNet Daily and the Daily Caller News Foundation, and it's about a combination of evils. In this case, a genital surgery robot cranking out high volumes of sex changes. Surgeons, it begins at Oregon Health and Science University, SICK, are using a medical robot to assist with vaginoplasties, or the surgical construction of a vagina and vulva, according to various posts on the organization's website. Their gender program, urological program, and reconstructive urology referral center all boast a high volume of clients, no doubt successfully duped by the public indoctrination centers and mass psychosis propaganda. And Dr. Blair Peters, the surgeon leading the gender deconstruction program, boasted that their gender surgery clinic had, quote, the highest volume on the West Coast and could operate 2 robot-assisted vaginoplasties each and every day, according to a recent report from the Manhattan Institute's City Journal. And in addition, they offer all kinds of other genital mutilation surgeries. At least the City Journal gets the name right here. The vaginoplasty robot, which they dub the castration machine, allows surgeons to use internal tissue to construct what they call a vagina. It works for some things that they're really hot for, but not so much for others that they could care less about. And it supplants the more common technique of mutilating men by reusing male genital tissue. I'm not going to read the rest of this crap, folks, other than to say, hey, you know what? If you want to do more than that number of surgeries per day, all you got to do is just call it what it is, and a robot with a machete would no doubt suffice. And I got to ask again, what's beyond ugly? From there, we're going to talk about several things that are arguably a combination of the good, the bad, and the ugly, the good part being the fact that it's finally coming out. And we'll start with a piece from Steve Watson via Summit News about the man running for president as an actual Democrat, RFK Jr. We did an interview on Monday with Fox News' Jesse Waters and suggested that the Biden regime isn't really interested in punishing China, you know, the ones that have given them all those great bribes, for covering up the lab leak that we now know is, nope, not a conspiracy theory. It did take longer than 6 months in this case, but an obvious fact, because, he said, it would expose the National Institutes of Health and the fact that they funded the bioweapons program. Furthermore, said Kennedy, I think the CIA was involved certainly in this research. They were funding it through USAID, and NIH, I think, in the end, gave about $26 million in funding to the Wuhan lab. But USAID, which was functioning as a CIA surrogate, gave over $64 million. The Pentagon, he said, also gave a lot of money. And, as you probably would have guessed, RFK Jr. also slammed the most evil man on planet Earth. I don't know if he's used that terminology.
Your host certainly has.
And if nothing else, America's Dr. Mengele is a contender for it. Certainly lots of competition. But Anthony Fauci was the subject of an entire book that RFK Jr. wrote.
And yes, folks, it truly is required reading.
And Kennedy this time said, I think he caused a lot of injury. I think that he particularly, by withholding early treatment from Americans, we racked up the highest death count in the world. And your host can relate personally to the evil of that one, as most of you know. We have, said RFK Jr., only 4.2% of the global population, but we had 16% of the COVID deaths in this country, and that was from bad policy, unquote. And maybe here he's pulling his punches a bit. Some of us will call it what it almost certainly was. Intended and actual genocide. But Kennedy continued, there were countries that did the exact opposite of what we did. They provided ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and other early treatments to their population and had 1/200th of our death rate, he said. Turning to vaccines, RFK Jr. added, I do believe that autism comes from vaccines, but I think most of the things people believe about my opinions about vaccines are wrong. All I've said about vaccines is we should have good science. What an amazing concept. He continued, we sure use the same kind of testing, placebo-controlled trials that we have for every other medication. Vaccines, he noted, are exempt from pre-licensing placebo-controlled trials. There's no way that anybody can tell the risk profile of those products or even the relative benefits of those products before they're mandated, and we should have that kind of testing, unquote. And while we're on the subject, the man who used to have that same time slot on Fox News but was fired for too much truth, Tucker Carlson, sat down with none other than firebrand Russell Brand on Rumble and dropped more than a couple of bombshells. By this time, probably not shocking to regular listeners, but at least it's finally coming out, and that, folks, really is, at minimum, surprisingly good news. Steve Watson's summary of what was dropped starts out this way. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, as you may recall, released about 40,000 hours of video footage from the riot, which Carlson had begun to air on Fox News, and much of it suggested a different narrative than the craven mob of killers that Democrats and the leftist media have maintained was unleashed on the Capitol by Donald Trump, and the fact that some people dared to think that the election had been stolen. Turns out they were right, and that's just the beginning. Admitting that he was appalled, said Tucker, by some of the events of that day, but initially at least he couldn't imagine it was a false flag. The former Fox News anchor said the reason he, quote, got involved in commenting on it was because of, quote, the lying about it that was immediate. The claim was this was a racist, white supremacist insurrection. And Tucker Carlson goes on to say, I interviewed the chief of the Capitol Police, Stephen Sund, in an interview that was never aired on Fox, by the way. I was fired before it could air. I'm going to interview him again, said Carlson. But Stephen Sund was the totally non-political. He worked for Nancy Pelosi. I mean, this was not some right-wing activist. He was the chief of the Capitol Police on January 6th. And he said, oh, yeah, that crowd was filled with federal agents. What? Yes, well, he would have known, of course, because he was in charge of security at the site. Let me repeat the main salient point there, folks. The crowd was filled with federal agents. One of the lawyers for defendant Dominic Pizzola, Roger Roots, argued there were at least 40 known undercover informants at the riot, including 8 FBI confidential human sources, along with at least 13 undercover plainclothes D.C. Metro police agents, who are not only among those that instigated the riots, but some of the highest profile people that, notably, have never been charged because, well, you know, they don't dare. As Tucker Carlson put it, so the more time has passed, the more it becomes really obvious that core claims they made about January 6th were lies, unquote, and even that now may be a gross understatement. We'll wrap things up today with a story that I think really helps explain why it is that so much of the world today is turning to crap, or as the author notes, why nothing works anymore. This is written by a former Boeing employee who shows how diversity and ESG and other politically correct BS, which obviously trumps trivial things like providing profits to shareholders or even providing good products to those who pay for them. But in the process, what they're doing, and arguably this too is deliberate, is destroying the U.S. industrial capacity. I don't know if this is a real name or not, but the Gab byline is Laan Nguyen Sing, which sounds a little bit too Star Trek-y for me, so take it with a grain of salt, but at least the points seem valid. I quit my job, he writes, as an aerodynamicist at Boeing today. And just a week short of 10 years, the path that led to today started back in summer 2021 when a new employee named Jamal, his real name, folks, was assigned to my aerodynamics engineering section. Before Jamal, everybody in aero possessed engineering and related science degrees, physics in my case. Some of us had an MS, and our lead held a PhD. Jamal, though, held a degree in aerospace science engineering, which we ultimately learned was an extremely, and he keeps putting extremely's in here, watered down version of an engineering technology program. My department head was told by his leadership that Jamal was going to be an aerodynamicist despite having only indoctrination level exposure to the discipline, basic aero at Tuskegee U. And says the author, no, totally not an affirmative action hire, right? In the year that followed, we steadily kept Jamal from the critical work about which he proved from day one to have a complete lack of understanding. We had him doing only basic data entry in Excel. He was literally useless to us in every way. Early in May, shortly after trying to get Jamal reassigned to a different section, our section lead was terminated by the company after serving 29 years. They told us that he, quote, started his retirement early, unquote. And while this was factually accurate, said the author, it was glaringly evident to us that for stating our collective concern for Jamal, our boss was painted as a racist and forced out.
Because diversity.
Not even a week later, we received our new boss, Miss Shanika, as she wanted us to address her. She wasn't even an engineer by education or by trade. She was a redundant data archival specialist. You can't make this stuff up. For those tuned in, to give you a clue about her ethnicity, well, white, Asian, or Hispanic women aren't named Shanika, nor do most of us casually tell people to precede our first names with a salutation. Within days, though, Miss Shanika, looking out solely for her own kind, made Jamal the Useless, as they had dubbed him, the team lead on my project, demoting me. I was told that, quote, he earned the opportunity. But 4 days later, about 724 gigabytes, that's 3/4 of a terabyte, folks, of MATLAB-processed wind tunnel and CFD data, millions of dollars worth of intellectual property, was rendered unusable. It took three of us to find out that the code script somehow got, let's just put it in the engineering acronym, FU'd. The worst part was that Ms. Shanika threw the three of us under the bus for the data corruption, complete with written reprimands and a timeline to fix it. Fortunately, we had a copy of the script and were able to reprocess the data, fully completing the subproject 2 weeks ago. But what happened to Jamal? Well, just a week after we un-effed the mess, as the author puts it, he was given commendation directly from Boeing corporate leadership for, quote, unparalleled excellence in leadership, for going above and beyond and finding a problem in data and fixing it, saving the company untold time and millions in the process, unquote. Which, as the author says, is where it gets kind of interesting. One of my colleagues found out the why, how, and when, and who, effed it all up. It wasn't Jamal. Instead, it turns out to have been Miss Shanika who did it from the comfort of her own home, according to IT records. And here's the upshot. Literally gigabytes worth of data, company intellectual property worth tens of millions of dollars, was deliberately sabotaged in a blatant effort to promote an undereducated, totally incompetent token employee and make us out to be the bad guys. I'll spare you the rest, but suffice it to say, Boeing can't pay us enough to go back, says the author. Let him eat cake. And as to who's telling the truth here, folks, well, eventually the real fruit will be obvious. Let me put it this way. As we move away from what works to what's politically correct, and in some cases literally insane, from pseudoscience to socialist engineering, and to now outright Satanism, what once worked suffers, as we've seen for quite a while. And may Yahuwah bless you and yours.